We go to Acts chapter 4 this morning. Give me Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. That's how I feel like sometimes in the mornings when I have to get up. I don't want to get up. Of course, she's screaming for the wrong reason, but Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. This morning I want to talk to us about the fact there's no greater name than the name of Jesus Christ. No greater name, according to Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached them through, or preached through Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power, or by what name have ye done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined for the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it made known unto you, or be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Father, again, we ask that you bless our time together this morning. I ask that you bless the reading of your word. I pray, Father, that you would establish our thoughts this morning. Lord, help us, Lord, not to be distracted in our minds. Help us, Lord, to listen steadfastly as you speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you would draw us unto you this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us. I pray that you would challenge us, Lord, whatever the need is. I pray that you would meet it this morning, and by faith we would respond to your leading. Father, we ask that you be with the children as always, Lord, as they continue to learn the truths of your word and continue to learn who Jesus Christ is and the fact that he is the best friend that they can have. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts in junior church. I pray, Father, that you would just minister to them, helping them to have fun, but obviously for the word of God to take root in their hearts. Father, would you allow the word of God to take root in our hearts this morning, again, reminding us of the truths of your word, the promises that you always keep, and the fact that our God is a faithful God unto every generation. We thank you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're familiar with this set or this passage here in Acts chapter 4, it comes after Acts chapter 3, which Peter and John, they go up to the temple at the hour of prayer. There is a lame man there, laid there at the beautiful gate of the temple. He asks for money from Peter and John, and Peter responds and says that they don't have any, but what he has, he's going to give to him, and what he has is Jesus Christ, who is far greater than any sum of money that anybody can receive in their life, because when Jesus Christ comes into a life, he makes that life whole. He brings in healing, he brings in peace, he brings in acceptance, he brings in love, and a man's life was changed on this day, but not everybody was happy about the change. You know, it kind of saddens me that not everybody is happy about hearing about Jesus Christ. Not everybody is happy when someone's life is changed by the power of God, because it's true. Misery loves company. People that are not happy want others to not be happy too. It's just the way it is. Instead of, you know, being wanting to be pulled up from the muck and mire they're in, they want to pull other people down into it so they have company in that misery. But Peter on this day, obviously, he tells somebody about Jesus Christ, and that man, who we do not know his name, put his faith in the name of Jesus Christ, and on that day he was physically able to walk as he had never walked a day in his life, but more than importantly, he had a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And people in that temple, they came, they were amazed, they were excited, they were praising God. But again, not everybody was happy, because in chapter 4, we find that the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the priests, the captain of the temple, they were grieved, according to verse number 2, that they taught the people and preached through the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead. So they put him in jail. They thought, you know, I'm going to put him in jail. It's nighttime, it's the eventide, we'll deal with them tomorrow. And tomorrow comes, and obviously, chapter 4, we see where Peter just boldly speaks to these people the name of Jesus Christ, the fact that there's none other name given among heaven whereby we must be saved. We understand that. We understand salvation is only through Jesus Christ. It's not through Jesus Christ and baptism. It's not through Jesus Christ and church membership. It's only Jesus Christ. Those other things are important. Following in believers' baptism, following the obedience of Christ, becoming a member of a church, becoming, you know, just becoming part of a church that teaches and preaches the truth of God's word is wonderful. But again, we believe that only Jesus Christ brings salvation, but we also do need to remind ourselves that there's no greater name that we can trust in each and every day. There's no greater person that we can take all of our cares to, no matter if they're our cares or somebody else's cares. We can come to Jesus Christ because there's no greater name, and he has told us that we can come boldly in the name of Jesus Christ seeking him. Again, there are going to be people that don't want to hear the name of Jesus Christ. And one certain devil that doesn't want to hear the name Jesus Christ come off of your lips is Satan. Your adversary does not want you to breathe that name at all. He doesn't want you to trust in that name, doesn't want you to believe in that name, doesn't want you to call upon that name, and he definitely does not want you or me to tell anybody else to trust in that name. That's why they were grieved and why they will even tell them, do not teach or preach in that name. Do whatever you want, just don't name the name of Jesus Christ. May we as God's people this morning not heed to what the devil wants, but obey what God wants and proclaim Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, the Bible says, or records as John says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know him, you know him as Jesus Christ. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. We know him as our Savior, as our Redeemer, but he has a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, meaning he has all power, he has all authority. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the ruler. He is sovereign. He is in control. Again, we're living in a day and age where they continue to want to censor the name of Jesus Christ. Have your religion, just don't have the name of Jesus Christ be a part of it. You know, be fanatical about your faith, just don't talk about Jesus Christ. But how can you be fanatical about your faith and not talk about Jesus Christ, who has changed your life, who's brought peace and comfort in your life, who has shown himself great and mighty every day of your life? This morning, there's a few things I want us to consider and think about as we are reminded and continue to trust in that name that is greater than any name given among men, which is Jesus Christ. Number one, we need to continue beseeching Jesus Christ, and beseeching, I should say, through the name of Jesus Christ. You and I can do nothing without Jesus Christ, and we need to continue having our faith in Jesus Christ and continue having faith that, you know what, just as he healed people in the scriptures that we read about, he can still heal people today. Do we believe it? Do we cry out to him to do it? Or do we believe what is a lie? That was only for then. Things are different. Times change. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When does he change? When does he stop being who he is? Never. But unfortunately, we allow ourselves at different times to change how we view things and how we think. But we need to allow ourselves to remember that we can continue beseeching through the name of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles, look at John chapter 14, as we look at the very words of Jesus Christ. These are the words that he spoke that John records for us. In John chapter 14, you look at verse 13 and 14. Listen, if I remind us again today, if I can't trust God, if I can't rely upon Jesus, what hope do I have? I have no hope. What type of life can I possibly have without Jesus being a part of it? I mean, I guess I could have a life without Jesus, but it sure wouldn't be as good as it is with Jesus. Again, we need to continue beseeching through the name of Jesus Christ. Don't allow society, don't allow government, don't allow the culture that we live in, don't even allow your family and friends and coworkers and strangers cause you to stop believing and even speaking the name of Jesus Christ. For even reason, why is it people don't want to hear the name Jesus Christ? I mean, they're okay saying it as long as they say it as a curse word, they say it with blasphemy. And sometimes, you know what? We're not even bothered by it. We're not even moved when someone says Jesus Christ in a very derogatory way and with anger behind it. And we should be, because there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. We've talked about this before, that the name of Jesus Christ demands authority. It commands authority. It demands respect. The name Jesus Christ reminds us that, you know what? I'm not the God of my life. Saved or unsaved, he's God. And I want to have a life where that name means something to me. I run to that name. David even talked about hiding in the name of God. Because there's something about being able to run to God and knowing that, you know what, you'll get the help that you need, knowing that you'll get the protection you need, knowing that there's comfort, joy, and peace in that name that is above every name. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, excuse me, in verse 13, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 16, verse 23 says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Two things Jesus tells us that we can do, or that we can have. I don't know. There's two things that Jesus says. Number one, he says, ask in my name so that I can glorify my Father. Then he says, ask in my name so your joy may be full. You know, a lot of Christians, a lot of God's people are missing the joy in their life because they're not crying out to God. They're not laying their burdens at his feet. They're not casting their cares upon him. They're trying to live a life without walking with their Savior. They're trying to face the hardships. They're trying to face trials and temptations without the master of the storm, and it's not going well. They continue to struggle. They're at their wit's end. They're at the point of giving up on God. because they haven't even begun to trust in God. Again, there's no greater name that you and I can trust in but in the faithful name of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 4, if you would, in verses 9 and 10. Acts chapter 4, because someone may ask, well, why do I need to beseech through the name of Jesus? Why do I need to add Jesus to anything I do? Because it's a powerful name. It's a powerful name that will and is like a shield defending us from the temptations, from the onslaught of the devil as he attacks. I believe some Christians have gotten to the point they don't even realize anymore that they're in a spiritual battle because there seems to be no resistance in their life. There seems to be no battle against the devil. It just seems like everything's fine because they've stopped walking with God. They stopped trusting Christ. And when they hear that, hey, you're in a spiritual battle, the devil is, he wants to destroy your life. No, my life's fine. Because the devil has convinced them, hey, everything's fine. And they're being led to their destruction. Remember, the Bible tells us that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The more that we walk with God, the more we try to live our life for the Lord, the more that we try to, you know, allow God to work in our life and we respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit, the devil's going to try to resist that. The Bible is just true. I mean, if we get to a point where there is no resistance in our life when we're trying to do what's right according to Scripture and according to what God wants, if we don't find ourselves being resisted, then it means we're not even walking in the right direction. Because to go in the direction of God is to have resistance. But to go in the opposite direction, to go contrary to God, there's no resistance whatsoever. There's something about the name of Jesus Christ. I forget how the song goes, and it was one that I heard a long time ago from an evangelist back from the 70s. It kind of goes something like this, and this may be it, Dylan, Tyler. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. There's something mighty sweet about the Lord. How's the rest of it go? It really doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what the people say. There's something mighty sweet. Tyler, Dylan can come up here and sing a lot better than me. I know that wasn't on tune, but think about the words. If you really believe there's something mighty sweet about the Lord, what does it matter what anybody says? In fact, when someone says Jesus Christ and you know they're not praising God, they're saying it, or if someone says God and adds something to it, yes, something on the inside should bristle at that and you should be like uncomfortable, but then, you know what? There's something about that name. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what he's done for me. Or you don't have to say, you could probably just start singing. They look at you like, what is wrong with you? What are you singing about? Well, I'm singing about the name you just said. And they may say it again. You're like, yeah, that name. There's something about that name. What happens is, sometimes we worry too much about what people think and what people might say, so it keeps us from saying anything about the Lord. But if we will remember that song, even remember the fact that, you know what, there's something mighty sweet about my Lord or about the Lord, it doesn't matter what anyone says. It's not going to change my belief in my God, whose name is above every name, Jesus Christ. Because not only do I have salvation because of my belief in that name, but I have a life that's worth living. I have a life that's full of joy, a life that's full of peace, a life that has meaning, and a life that is full of the love of God. Why should I? Well, Acts chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Why must I beseech through the name of Jesus? Because it's a powerful name. In fact, you know, before I read those, look at verse 7 of Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 7. They asked Peter and the others, by what power or by what name have you done this? All right, they're asking, you know, by what power was this man healed? By what name have you done this? Well, by the name of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9 and 10. Peter responds, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, just so nobody's confused and wants to make sure, okay, it wasn't someone named, you know, Jesus, you know, down in Mexico, Jesus. It wasn't, you know, anybody else even in this day that may have been given this name of Yeshua, Joshua. But he says, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because he wants to know, remember the one that you crucified? The one that you hated? The one you wanted to get rid of? Well, it's by his name and through his power, this man has been made whole. Be it made known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, I am like you. I would love to be able to go into a hospital, into the cancer ward, into the children's hospital, and just, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, be made whole. And have all those kids just be made whole. No more cancer, whatever their disease, anything. Anybody, I'd love to be able to do that. There's not a single person that can do that. And those that claim they can are from the devil leading people astray. There's not a human being that can heal anybody. I've heard so many stories of people going to these faith healers, wanting to be healed, to be rejected and not allowed to go on stage because they weren't part of the selected group. Because they have their selected group of those pretending to need healing that get up there and pretend that they're healed. And the ones that really need healing are turned away. Because they will prove that man, that woman, is a wolf in sheep's clothing. But Jesus Christ still can heal today. Jesus Christ can still heal physically, mentally, and spiritually today. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. You know why the devil doesn't want the name of Jesus Christ mentioned? He doesn't want anybody to believe in that name. Because you know what? We must continue believing in the name of Jesus Christ, even as God's people, but also help others to understand that, listen, there's power in that name. There's a friendship in that name. There's love in that name. There's joy in the name of Christ. There's peace in the name of Christ. Look at verse 11, though. There are those that will reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, there are even Christians who profess Christ as their Savior who will reject Jesus Christ in their life, not allowing their life to be blessed by the Lord, not allowing themselves to follow the Lord, not allowing themselves to believe. Because we are told in Scripture that unbelief is sin. There are those that will reject. Verse 11, this is the stone which was set at naught. Peter is quoting from Scripture, specifically from Isaiah. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. And Peter's kind of, he's using Scripture to kind of rebuke the Pharisees, rebuke these religious rulers and those that should know the truth that, hey, this is the stone which was set at naught of you. This is the stone that God chose, Jesus Christ. You rejected him, but he's been made head of the corner. And there are those that will reject Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear his name. Praise the Lord for those that do believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that it is a name that reminds us of our redemption, reminds us of our salvation, reminds us of the life that we now have in Jesus Christ. And you know what? No matter what my past life was like, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new because I'm a new creature in Christ. The name of Jesus Christ reminds me that who I am by the grace of God. Paul talked about that. Paul even said, by the grace of God, he was who he was. Saved, being used by God, an apostle to the Gentiles. And Paul didn't forget where he came from. He could not forget what he had done in his lifetime. But what he could do was focus on the fact, you know what? There was a day that I put my faith and trust in that name, in Jesus Christ. And my life has never been the same. Your enemy and my enemy wants us to be reminded of who we once were. He wants us to be reminded of our failures. But we have to remind him of his failure to keep us bound in sin. In verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That verse not only testifies of the fact that salvation is only through belief in Jesus Christ, that as Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, because he's the truth, the life, and the door. But the fact it reminds us of the fact that we are the children of God. And you know what? There's power in that name, and they were first called Christians at Antioch. Now listen, in Antioch in the day, they called them Christians as a derogatory word. They weren't using it. The Christians didn't come up, hey, we'll call ourselves Christians. It was their enemies that said, oh, those Christians, those Christ followers, those Christ believers. Oh, thank you very much. I'd rather be called a Christian than a God hater, than a Christ denier. But the fact is that we are called Christians. There's something to it. There's power in that name. The devil knows it. The devil knows who you belong to. The devil knows that God has a hedge of protection around you. The devil knows that you belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that he will always come to your defense and to help you in a time of need. There's no greater name in this world than the name of Jesus Christ. And because there's no greater name and we bear that name, we as God's people need to behave like Jesus' name and what Jesus means. Look at verse 13. And this is what I mean by it. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Jesus never backed down from anybody. He loved people, but those that were against him, he didn't back down from them. He didn't allow those that rejected him, those that hated him, those that spoke evil against him, he didn't allow that to affect him. And we as God's people don't need to allow what others think or say to affect how we openly live for the Lord and how we openly speak about Christ. Again, if you're saved this morning, if you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there should be a distinction between you and others. There should be a distinction. Someone should be able to see, look at you and say, you know what? I don't agree with them, but I can definitely tell they've been with Jesus. And this is how, again, verse 13, when they saw the boldness, they had no fear. They were bold in what they believed. I can tell you that Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, all those of the household, the kindred of the high priest, when they asked, by what power, by what name have you done this, they didn't go, oh, okay, can I ask you a question? Don't get mad at me, but can I ask you a question? By what power did you do this? I'd like to know by what power, by what authority you did this. No, I can tell you they were harsh and demanding because they hated and they despised your Lord and Savior. I can tell you there's probably a tone Nobody likes, I mean, I'm one that does not like confrontation. I like to get along with everybody. But we've learned, obviously, through life that, you know, you can't get along with everybody. There's going to be people that, you know, stand up against you and even try to cause you to become uncomfortable and fearful to where you do not stand on the promise of God's word or even stand confidently in the name of Christ. But we can behave like Christ just as these men did because they saw the boldness. They saw the fact that they had a boldness, not an arrogancy, not pride, but a boldness in what they believed because they spoke of Jesus and even said, hey, there's not a greater name than the name of Jesus Christ. And I believe in that name and I trust in that name. You know what? This man's life has been changed by the power of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus Christ. The boldness. Again, do people see us? Can people look at us? Can they look at how we respond to trouble? And how we respond to things we can't control in our life? Do they see calmness? Do they see peace? Do they see joy? Do they see confidence that we have in Christ? Or do they see someone who's pining away, fearful, full of trouble, not trusting their Savior that they claim to love and claim to believe in? Do they have an I don't care attitude in life? Like, I don't even care what God thinks. This is how I'm living. Like I said in Sunday school, every single child of God, every single person that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, every person that will be in heaven, when we see Christ face to face, we will have regrets. Why do you think in Revelation the Bible talks about the Lord wiping away all tears? It's not the tears of the lost, it's the tears of the saved. I believe there's many reasons. Some of those reasons, one reason will be because we will see those, or we will know in the beginning. I believe when God wipes away all tears, He wipes away the memory of those that we should have told about Jesus Christ and we didn't. Those that God prompted us to witness to and we didn't. The tears are going to be wiped away for many reasons. One will be because we didn't witness for the Lord. We didn't tell somebody to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But I think many of those tears will be because we'll realize how much we didn't trust God and how we didn't live our life for the Lord when we had an opportunity. Again, right now, the life that we're living, we have a great opportunity to live our life for the Lord. And the Bible even talks about the fact that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not to see if our good outweighs our bad, but to be blessed with rewards based on how we did live our life for the Lord after salvation. The Bible talks about that. And that should be something that really, you know, is heavy upon our hearts and minds. You know what? I want God to be glorified in my life. I want people to be able to see that, you know what? I do trust the very one that I bear His name. Because there's no name greater than Jesus Christ. You know, before I had any children, before I had any sons, and my wife can testify of this, because we talked about, when we were talking about having kids and stuff, I just said, if I can at least just have one son to bear my name, I'll be happy. As a young, soon-to-be dad, I just, you know, I wanted a son to carry on the Middleton name. I didn't want to be the last one of my family. But But you think about the name of Christ that we bear. That's a far greater name that I want to pass on to my children. Teaching them to trust in Jesus. Helping somebody else to realize, you know what? There is somebody by the name of Jesus that can help you carry those burdens, can help you live a life that's more meaningful, a life that has some love and some care in it because of our Heavenly Father who loves and cares for every one of His children. There has to be something in us that people see, that they go, there's something different. You know what? I can see Jesus in them. We've been talking about it. And maybe they rejected it first, but then they've been watching. You kind of see that example throughout Scripture, people watching and listening. Nobody likes to be a fish in a bowl where everybody watches your life. Everybody knows everything. It's not like, mind your own business. But people do. Once people find out that you're a Christian, well, the spectacles come out, and they will inspect every part of your life to try to find something. Something they can go, see, I'm not going to believe on Jesus because they're a Pharisee. They're a hypocrite. Nobody's perfect. But can somebody look at us and say, you know what? They're having difficulties in their life just like me, but they have joy on their face. Not necessarily mean you're smiling, but there's something about your countenance that lets them know they have joy and peace, and I want that. You see that in the life of the Philippian jailer when Paul and Silas are in prison at midnight. Because after the earthquake, the Philippian jailer comes springing in with the light, falling down at Paul's feet, asking, what must I do to be saved? What do I have to do to have what you have? He was about to commit suicide. He's about to end his life. People need the Lord. And people need to see God's people who really believe in their God and believe in that name, Jesus Christ. We must behave like Jesus' name. There must be a marked boldness in our life that we do. We boldly proclaim, we boldly live Jesus Christ, and people can tell a difference because we've been spending time with the Lord. We have that fellowship with the Lord. Look at verse 14 through 21. Last thing I want you to think about, the fact that we need to continue beseeching through Jesus' name, still believing in that name, praying that name, living in that name of Jesus Christ. But you know what? As we spend time, as we talk about the Lord, as we continue believing in that name, in the name of Christ, and living by that name of Jesus Christ, we need to do what they did in verse 14 through 21. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Cannot deny it. You know what? They could not deny what was done. Though they hated Jesus, they hated the name of Jesus, they wanted so badly to discredit Peter and John and the others, they couldn't deny it. Because everybody had seen this man's life changed by the power of God. Again, like I said, not everyone's going to agree with you. Not everyone's going to like you. But they should be able not to deny there's something different about you. There's something different about you. You have a relationship with Christ. Should be. Should be something different that causes people not to be able to deny. Let's not give them the opportunity or give them the ammunition or the excuse to deny because our life does not match up with the name that we bear. But we need to boast about Jesus Christ. We need to boast about the goodness of our God. Saying, again, it says we cannot deny it, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing, how they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for that which was done. You know, as they demanded them not to speak in that name, keep doing what you want to do, just don't mention Jesus Christ. You know, keep doing good, be morally upright, be kind, be loving, you know, be forgiving, you know, all that, be a good citizen, just don't mention Jesus Christ. Understand, anybody can be good. Anybody can be morally upright. Anybody can forgive. Anybody can love. But it's completely different when it's through Jesus Christ. It's completely different. There's power in that name. There's more power in what we do when we're doing it through the name of Jesus Christ. There's more power in it. And again, the boast of. When was the last time we boasted about the goodness of God in our life? When was the last night we told somebody, hey, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you what happened today. Well, usually we'll do that, right? Usually something happens in a day or in a week we want to tell somebody about, hey, let me tell you, I won the lottery. I mean, when someone wins the lottery, everybody knows they won the lottery. When their favorite football team wins the Super Bowl, everybody knows who their favorite football team is. Whatever it is that people like, they talk about it. And if they're fanatic about it, you can't help but to tell they're fanatic about, because they're, you know, if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, they'll dye their hair green, they'll put on the cheese hats. I mean, they'll do all kinds of weird, crazy things in the dead of winter to show their support for their team. But God's people need to show their support for Christ. Again, when was the last time we told anybody about the goodness of God and what he's done? Let me ask you this. When was the last time you trusted Jesus Christ to help you? When was the last time you and myself, I'm including myself in this, when was the last time we even thanked the Lord for our salvation and for our relationship with him? You and I have something very good. We have something money cannot buy and the devil cannot take away. Your worst enemy cannot take away what you have. I've had things stolen before in my life. I've had someone break into my home when I was a teenager and come into my bedroom and steal stuff, ransacked the house, busted in the door. Okay. You might can take my stuff. Sickness might can take my health. But my relationship with God can never be stolen away. There's no greater name than the name of Jesus Christ. How much are we truly trusting in that name? How much are we bearing that name in our life? You cannot be a Christian without truly walking with Jesus Christ. You just can't. It does not work. And I'm not saying anybody in here is doing that. I'm just saying, as a Christian, you can't be a Christian without walking with Jesus Christ. something will be different.